Washington.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Traveling Culturati, exploring the style and culture of travel with travel pro Javon Harley, exclusively on HUR Voices.
Javon Harley here, your host and travel pro on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. And welcome back, fellow Culturati, to another week and another show. Today I'm chatting with James Spellos on keeping our digital data safe. He'll tell us who to watch out for, those lurking and trying to steal your data, what apps we should have, and the smartest password protection you should use. You don't want to miss any of that. We've also got Javon's Travel Minute, the question of the week, and the culture report. Now, time is running out, folks, for the Ghana trip. Don't miss out on this fabulous trip to this historic, cultural, and beautiful place. We're going September 8th through the 16th, and you can get detailed information and make your reservation at travelingculturati.com or by calling 877-428-2773. Well, let's get into some travel news. I'm sure by now you know what Pokemon Go is, and you've probably heard the stories of people doing strange things like having traffic accidents, falling off cliffs, and lurking in people's backyards. Now imagine this behavior at an airport or in a foreign country. Well, Alaska Airlines has Pokemon trainers, and they've come up with four tips for keeping yourself out of trouble and staying safe. Number one. Watch where you're going. Stopping suddenly can cause other passengers to trip, or you may be in the way of someone trying to get to their gate in a hurry. So you want to respect your fellow passengers' personal space. Nobody really loves waiting in line to board an airplane, so do your best not to make it worse for those around you. Number two, obey the law. An airport is a place with security concerns, and there are a lot of spaces that the general public is not allowed to access. Avoid playing in security lines, near doorways to restricted areas, or anywhere that might get yourself tackled by airport police. Now, many flights in warm destinations board the plane outside using a ramp or stairs on the tarmac. So remember to watch where you're going and beware of wandering into that restricted space. Better yet, hold off on playing until you're safely in the terminal. Number three, follow directions. When the cabin crew asks you to put your phone on airplane mode, or a customer service agent asks you to keep to the side of the jetway while you try to catch that weirdly strong drowsy, you want to listen. And while you're at it, please don't ask employees to help you catch a Pokemon or let you into a restricted area to hunt. It's their job to keep you and fellow passengers safe and comfortable while you get from point A to point B. They really are just looking out for you. And number four, have fun. If you're paying attention to your surroundings and generally staying out of the way, you'll find that the airport is a fantastic place to catch Pokemon, hatch eggs, and add precious lures and potions to your backpack. No, this is just crazy. And a disaster waiting to happen. Now, from Pokemon Go to selfies. Selfies were a problem long before Pokemon Go was, and I, for one, I love selfies. And for some reason, I take better photos of myself in certain situations. I don't know why that is. I do, however, try to stay safe. That, unfortunately, wasn't the case for a few tourists whose selfie turned fatal. This past January, Priceonomics found that India, Russia, and the United States lead in selfie-related fatalities. Most selfie deaths can be placed into three categories: falls, drowning, and trains. A 16-year-old tried to take a selfie during a school trip in Italy, and she plunged 60 feet onto jagged rocks. A 23-year-old Polish medical student was on vacation in Seville, Spain, and she tried to take a selfie on the famous Puente de Triana Bridge. She lost her balance on the ledge and fell 15 feet. A 21-year-old woman taking a selfie was standing on a large rock on the second highest point of Johannesburg, South Africa, when the boulder gave way, and she fell almost 50 feet. A 21-year-old was on a hike with fellow students when he fell into the crater of a volcano in central Java. He lost his footing while taking a photo, and his body was found 320 feet below. A Singaporean man died on an island off the coast of Bali after losing his balance when he was hit by a wave while taking a selfie. He fell into the sea from a 6-foot-high cliff. Now, I myself witnessed a near fatality, and or what could have been a fatality, during my trip to Hawaii in January. A couple climbed onto a rock to take a selfie and was hit by a wave that knocked them off the rock, but fortunately not into the rough waters. And I must add that they ignored the signs that said, do not climb the rocks due to unpredictable waves. Now, whether it's for a selfie or Pokemon Go, please have common sense and put safety over the photo and the game. Well, JetBlue is enhancing in-flight experiences. What's known as IFE, in-flight entertainment, is about to get better thanks to JetBlue. JetBlue is about to introduce what they call a fully connected in-seat experience. They're restyling the cabin on their A320s. In a recent interview with Future Travel Experience, JetBlue's Executive Vice President of Customer Experience announced the airline plans to use Bluetooth technology, allowing passengers to link their personal electronic devices with the seatback in-flight entertainment screens. The representative explained that in the new design, the IFE system will be Bluetooth enabled, so you'll be able to stream from your device onto the seatback screens, and that the new TVS system will continue to have significant capabilities and streaming live television into the IFE screen. The goal is to make the passengers feel like they're at home and will be able to use programs like Netflix. It will be a multi-device approach. United Airlines is updating its app. United Airlines has updated its app to include fingerprint authentication. No more remembering your password to access your app and Mileage Plus account. If your mobile device currently includes fingerprint authentication, you know exactly what I'm talking about and how easy it is. To get it on your United Airlines app, simply log into the app and you will get a notification of the update and a prompt to opt in or opt out. It just keeps getting easier, folks. Well, a U.S. Global Entry Enrollment Center in London? That's right. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency announced plans to open a temporary enrollment center for Global Entry Trusted Traveler Program in London. Interviews will be conducted at the U.S. Embassy for approved applicants. While the center will be new, Global Entry for UK citizens is not. UK citizens have been eligible to apply for Global Entry for more than 6 years with nearly 9,000 participants. Global Entry is also available for citizens of Mexico, the Netherlands, Germany, Qatar, and Israel. The world's busiest airport retains its crown for the 17th year. According to the Airports Council International, Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport was the busiest airport in 2015, with more than 100 million passengers. Atlanta's airport increased traffic by 5.5% over 2014. Two main reasons could be that Atlanta is within a two-hour flight of 80% of the U.S. population, and it's the home of Delta Airlines, the third largest airline in the world. The 10 busiest airports based on passenger traffic following Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport are: number 2, Beijing Capital International Airport with over 89 million passengers. Number 3 is Dubai International Airport with over 78 million passengers. And Chicago O'Hare International Airport has dropped to number 4 with over 76 million passengers. Tokyo International Airport is number 5 with over 75 million passengers. London Heathrow Airport with 75 million passengers. Los Angeles International Airport, 74 million. Hong Kong International Airport, 68 million. Paris's Charles de Gaulle Airport with 65 million. And Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport with over 64 million. Well, hotels have new amenities, and it just might be you. Hotels are making an effort to attract locals to hotels by developing local ambassadors and making the hotel a local hangout. The philosophy is that locals generate revenue at the bars, and as an ambassador, they give out-of-town guests a unique experience of the city. Westin Hotel in Fort Lauderdale is part of a national running concierge program created by Westin. Every Thursday evening, a group formed by the hotel and a local running store goes for a 5K run, followed by a post-run happy hour at the hotel, of course. The new trend and effort is to focus on getting repeat business from a local following. In addition to the running club, hotels have also organized other attractions like author readings, art shows, and musical performances. They're making lobbies and lounges more hangout friendly. A busy and vibrant hotel lobby and bar makes the hotel more attractive to out-of-town guests. To breathe new life into its public spaces, Marriott has experimented with various ways to attract an in-town clientele, from online local concierge and evenings at Renaissance with craft cocktails and musical entertainment. I, for one, am more likely to hang out at the hotel if it's happening. Who wants to hang out in a dead hotel lobby or bar? Well, U.S. airfares are the cheapest we've seen since 2010. According to the Department of Transportation, in the first quarter of this year, U.S. airfares were the cheapest they've ever seen since 2010, down 7.8% from the first quarter in 2015. The average price of a domestic ticket dropped to $361. The fare data is adjusted for inflation, and it's also noteworthy that fees for optional services like baggage fees and seat assignments were not included. And if you're in Chicago, you're the recipient of some of the lowest fares, as the average fare in that same quarter was $338, which is low in comparison to other major airports. But don't expect to see more availability. United Continental and Delta Airlines recently said they will not increase capacity. And there's some speculation that we might expect higher prices next year. In the meantime, take advantage of this year's summer fares. Well, that's all I have for travel news today. And when we come back, we'll have Javon's Travel Minute, James Fellows on keeping your digital data safe, and the question of the week. So don't go anywhere. I'm Javon Harley with the Traveling Culturati, exclusively on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. Join Traveling Culturati and Advantage International for the once-in-a-lifetime trip to Washington, D.C. for the historic opening of the National Museum of African American History and Culture. The National Museum of African American History and Culture will be a place where all Americans can learn about the richness and diversity of the African American experience. Join us as we visit the museum. Enjoy a nighttime tour of the monuments. Our package includes air from Chicago, accommodations at the J.W. Marriott, tours, selected meals, and events. Go to advantage-intl.com for complete information and to book.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by: never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal: we leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals, because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
Water is all around us, falling from the sky, bubbling up from the earth, running clear at the turn of a faucet. No wonder it's hard to imagine we're facing a water crisis. But we are. So that's why the American Planning Association brings you simple ways to save water at home and in your community. Learn more at planning.org. That's planning.org. Find out how native plants make a great garden with less watering. Why a car wash that recycles water is the way to go. How community efforts can make the biggest difference of all. When you work with local planners, businesses, and elected officials, protecting water as a part of growth and development can be as natural as water itself. A public service message from this station and the American Planning Association.
Technology moves at the speed of innovation. And today, that's lightning fast. So when you get your hands on the latest tech, don't forget to do the right thing with your old devices. Recycle them. The Consumer Electronics Association and its members are making recycling your old tech device as easy as purchasing new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the responsible recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find lots of tips to simplify your recycling, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Television sets, video game consoles, smartphones, tablets. They're all recyclable. Don't let them clog up your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org. You're sharp enough to get the latest tech tools into your home. Now be responsible enough to get your old devices to the recycler. That's greenergadgets.org.
Well, welcome back to the Traveling Culturati. I'm your host and travel pro, Javon Harley. Traveling Culturati is all about the style and culture of travel. Just make sure you check out the website, travelingculturati.com.
And now, Javon's Travel Minute.
With the current changes to airline frequent flyer and rewards programs, it's important to get miles whenever and wherever you can. Since several airlines have changed from mileage flown to dollars spent, increasing your purchase power can rack up points. Where do you look? To your credit cards and daily spending habits. When looking for a credit card with airline affiliation or reward programs that include travel, consider the following. Know the details. Like, what is their current bonus points program? What are the benefits to using the card, including how the points are translated to miles? The annual fee, which airlines they partner with, and who those airlines' partners are. And think beyond the airline. Which hotels and rental card companies do they partner with? Making a list of credit card companies and doing an apples-to-apples comparison can help you in the process. You can also visit thepointsguide.com for more detailed information and help. This is Javon, and that was your Travel Minute. Today I'm speaking with James Spellos, president of Meeting You, a company specializing in helping people become more productive and comfortable with technology. We have to embrace technology. I know some of us are doing it kicking and screaming. But
we have
to think
about being 150 times a year on the road as I get to really practice what I preach and able to get the information and find out more about what really travelers need to use to keep themselves not only productive, but safe and secure on the road as well.
So what I want to talk about today is keeping digital data safe when traveling, because that's big. And you hear so many reports, and it's a little scary out there. So what are some of those dangers that are lurking?
Well, you know, there are so many that are out there, and it's such a fine line, Javon, we have to walk between making this such a fear-based conversation and nobody will ever go online again versus ignoring all the stuff that you need to do. But there's an awareness factor. I would think for the traveler, the most important thing to be aware of is that every network that they connect to, in particular the free Wi-Fis or even the Wi-Fi at the hotel, is an open network, which means that I wouldn't call them a crook, just someone who wants information, wants to hack, wants to play around, or wants to send something bad onto your computer, has that ability if you're not keeping yourself secure. And what really happens is that you, me, and everybody else use the same approaches to security, which oftentimes is not enough. And it just magnifies itself when we're on the road, when, you know, we're not in the confines of a home office or a network at work, which is much more protected. So, I mean, the first danger I would absolutely say is be wary of the public Wi-Fi in any place you go, outside of home or outside of your office.
Well, one of the things I want to ask you, especially for those who use technology sparingly and may not understand a lot of the terminology, myself included, and in some cases, but when you say open, because I'll give you an example. As soon as I get to a destination, I want to find out where I can connect, and sometimes that's the hotel comes up as Wi-Fi available or open networks. So what does that mean, really?
Well, it essentially means they're not doing anything to protect your privacy. All they're doing is creating and providing you with a conduit to get you from where you're sitting into the internet that you're used to being on, which means that all of your data is open. So let's take an example, Javon. You check into a hotel room, you got some work to do, you forgot to do your banking, which happens from time to time, and so you go, well, I'm on a network, it's a hotel, it's protected. Let me just log on to Chase or Bank of America and do that transfer or deposit. Now, someone could be next door with a free piece of software that could be, and the word they use is sniffing, they're really checking out what's being transmitted on that network. And if you're not doing your due diligence to keep yourself secure, the hotel isn't either. And what that's going to mean is that they're going to see everything that you type in, including a username, a password, the site you're going on, and that is just an open door to giving away all of your information. It's easily protectable, but it's something we're not aware of. Now, the part of the issue for a lot of people is, well, the bank site is secure. You see that S at the top of the web page. You see the little padlock, and those are really good things because that means there is encryption there. But the problem might not necessarily be that banking, but it might have been going on to a Gmail or a Facebook or another site where you use a password. And because we don't protect our passwords properly, and because, and we can talk about this later, we tend to reuse them over and over again. You know, once they find out that that harmless password you have for Amazon, as an example, I'm not saying that's not a good place to go, but if they get that, the first thing that they're going to try to do is test it against other services that use on Facebook. Is that your Gmail access? Which bank does he or she use? And maybe we'll try it there. I mean, a little bit of information and a little bit of elbow grease can go an awful long way in being able to have you with an open door to them.
Well, I'm raising my hand because I'm a little guilty of that, because you have so many places where you sign in. It just gets hard to keep up with all of it. So you do something that you can remember. Otherwise, you're forever resetting that password. And
indeed.
So, yes,
and you
I'm
know
guilty.
All the frustration that you have when a boss or an IT person says you have to change your password every 2 weeks and you have to use special characters and you don't want to use a common word. Well, all that is for good reason, because that password hacking is one of the ways that they're going to take a harmless interception of information and then, okay, well, let's see how else she's using that. So my question to you, Javon, and to your listeners is, have you considered using a password manager to give yourself a higher level of protection when you're on the road?
I was keeping them in a place, but not probably where I should have been keeping them. But what are those tools that we can use to protect our data?
You know, a basic password manager, which is sort of different than the data protection, but is the same conversation, allows you to have all your passwords stored, and they can all be different, and in fact should all be different, and all you then need to remember is a really, really difficult to crack master password. Now understand, you know, I've been playing on the internet as long as anybody else has, and for a long time that just didn't make sense to me, because my thought process was, you know, if they get that password, then I'm sunk. Then they have all of my stuff. But enough security people out there again and again and again were advising to have that really sophisticated, difficult to crack master password. The funny part of the situation is that we tend to use, A, as you said, passwords you remember, but even more so, simple stuff. There's a list online that makes me laugh whenever I see it of the most commonly used passwords. And you know what the most commonly used password is?
Birth date.
It could be, but it's actually even easier than that. It's password.
the word password.
I mean, you would figure someone would change that right away, but a lot of people don't. So you get a password manager, and it comes in two varieties. Typically, it will come either in a free or a pay. You know, it's the freemium model, which is very, very common with apps these days. I believe in using it on a pay basis, because I want the full protection. The one I in particular use, and I don't rep any of these companies, but the one I've ended up using for the past couple of years is an app and a service called Dashlane. And Dashlane gives me protection to up to 3 devices. So I have it on my computer, I have it on my phone, I have it on my tablet.
How are we spelling that?
Great question. D-A-S-H, as in Dash, and Lane, as in Lois Lane. But Dashlane allows you to have that master password and then have everything protected. But at the same time, when you go onto a website, if you've logged into Dashlane and if you put in the proper master password, it'll automatically log you into the site, which is really, really cool and important. I mean, just being at home alone, just to have that level of peace of mind and security. But when you're on your mobile device, and you know how frustrating it is, oh, what password do they use for that? It'll make sure that all of that is encrypted and is hidden so that that password becomes much more secure, and the fact that you're not reusing them over and over and over again. So if I, as the hacker, found that one site that you logged into, it doesn't match anything else. Huge level of security and protection. But the password manager alone is not going to protect you. It's really a multiple-step process, and especially from the road, perhaps even more important than the password manager, is the personal VPN, which stands for Virtual Private Network. Organizations have this with their team oftentimes when they're on the road, but we might forget to put it onto our phone or put it onto our mobile device. And in essence, what a VPN does is it protects you from local snooping. It protects you from the people next door or sitting next to you at the coffee shop from getting that information that you've typed in and being able to see it. It creates a tunnel, as it were, from where you're sitting to the servers out in, call it server land, wherever those servers might be, and it gets away from that local prying and snooping, especially for the folks who travel a lot. This is a critical, because that type of attack, which is known as a man-in-the-middle attack, and essentially what happens is a person sets up their computer, and let's say it's the that we're both having a cup of Joe in, and all of a sudden, this person sets up their computer to be in between the Wi-Fi and your computer. And so when you log in, you're actually going through his or her computer first, and hence the name man in the middle. That person's in the middle between you and the internet. And they can see everything that you're putting in there, except if you have it encrypted in a tunnel. So hence a service such as a VPN, and there are a number for personal use, like called TunnelBear. EasyVPN is out there. There are a bunch that do this, will allow you either for free or for a fee, give you that peace of mind of being able to make sure that your connections are encrypted and hidden away from the local prying eyes.
So we've gotten a couple of things that we really need to do pretty much before you leave, which is to get the VPN, to get that protection for yourself, as well as
if you get a good professional password manager, they will set the password for you. You can click one button and scramble all your passwords. Now, I know, again, counterintuitive. What do you mean I don't know what my passwords are? But if you don't know them and you can't remember them and they're a combination of letters and numbers and all sorts of weird characters, then guess what? The person trying to hack in is going to go, I'm not going to try this computer. I'll try another one.
Such a great idea, because you're getting something that's completely random, that's not going to be associated with you. And so it's not something that somebody can just think about from just Googling basic information on you, like your date of birth or your anniversary or something of that nature.
Spouse name, child name, pet's name, all those are common fodder. And if you know that little piece of information about the person, you know, those are the first places they're going. Then where they're going, believe it or not, is to a piece of software. And these are called dictionary attacks, where the hacker will buy a dictionary of, let's say, 250,000 words, commonly used words, and they'll just have the computer try every single one of them. So if it's a word that's a common word, which is why your IT folks want you to put letters and numbers and special characters in there, then they'll be able to hack it with a $5 download.
And I also want to say, some people may be thinking, well, I don't conduct anything like that on there. I don't have a lot of things on my phone, but you're still vulnerable if you're using your phone and your data in any way.
Absolutely correct. In fact, one of the terms that's very, very hot these days is the term social engineering. And in essence, what that means is these malicious attacks are inflicted by getting you to give up your information. How is that done? It could be something as simple as a link to click or a trusted email that you got that they send to you because you saw the name of the person, it was your brother or your friend, and you click on it. Or they sort of ask you for the information. It's amazing how easy sometimes it is for them to get us to give up information that we normally wouldn't give to anyone just by being tricky, by asking a few questions, or by attempting to even be genuine. So we have to have, as we travel, our defenses up at all times.
Is there anything you should look out for when you get back?
I would always look out to see if you go onto a website and it redirects you to somewhere that you shouldn't have gone or you didn't put in the URL, because that is a clear sign of some sort of malicious ware that's on your computer. So if I go to Google and it redirects me to Yahoo, not that Yahoo's doing it, or it redirects me to another search engine, that's a huge red flag. And immediately what I would do, and this is another tool that we're going to talk about right now, is to make sure that the user has not only antivirus software, which these days I think is pretty standard. Everyone knows they need to have that. But an anti-malware solution, malware as in malicious ware. And this will catch things that aren't viruses, but that by clicking on the wrong link, infect your computer. Again, free and premium. You have both approaches. I'd rather stay with the premium, but for $15 a year, $20 a year, I can get a program such as Malwarebytes, spelled with B-Y-T-E-S. I can have it always running on my computer. So if I go to that site that accidentally can drive by and give me a payload or a malicious piece of software on my computer, it'll block it, it'll quarantine it, and it'll never get into my system.
Okay, so in some very basic layman terms, what is the difference between a virus and malware?
Well, a virus is a code that not only infects a computer, but continues to reproduce itself and spread to other computers. Malware, which actually has it, they have malware and spyware, is a malicious code that's in there. It's not going to spread, but it's intended to do damage on your computer. The idea of the virus, like everyone's favorite Nigerian uncle who we have, where we're getting the thousands of dollars that's being left for us in a bank, those are viruses that if you click on that link, you can not only infect yourself, but infect other people. And in addition to that, you understand that if you get an email that's coming from somebody else that you know, but it doesn't seem to make sense, that's a virus that's in there. And by clicking on the link that's there, you infect your computer, and then it sends out the information to all of the people in your contact list.
It's so amazing. And I tell you one tip that I do, because if I'm not sure if it's valid, let's say it does come from a friend or what you think is a friend of yours, of email that you're familiar with, I don't click on anything. I don't open anything. What I do is just move my mouse over top of it and see what the URL is.
Great, great thing to do. I would take it a step further, because sometimes that URL is so tricky that it might look good, but it isn't. For example, if I get a link to a YouTube video from somebody and it has a generic, it has my name in there and it says, you got to watch this. I never click on it. But what I might do is send that person a note, not just replying to the email saying, did you just send me something? Did you just send me a link? Because if they say no, then I know that's a virus or a piece of malware that's trying to get into my computer, but it requires that click on the link for me to be able to open my back door.
And then, of course, those that I am getting more frequently is to say that there is something with your account, or that you've been locked out of your bank account or credit card account, or they need you to verify something.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm sure we're all getting those.
More and more. Those are called phishing scams, and phishing with a P-H. And they are so easy. I mean, even if 0.1% of the people ever clicks on it, they've opened the door to get whatever they want to do, whether it's creating havoc on your computer, spreading it to other computers, getting your personal information. But, you know, a bank, a major institution won't send you an email to tell you that you need to update your account. It just doesn't happen. They know those tricks. So anytime we get that, we should be really aware of where it's coming from and what they're asking for. You know, and if a bank says we've had a problem with some sort of infection or maybe something got in their system, my first approach would be to call the bank. I know it's old-fashioned, but, you know, I'm going to give them a call, say, did you just send this out? Do I really need to be concerned about this?
Let's just do a quick recap on the dangers that lurk, what tools you should have, and those steps that you should take.
I think the two-step approach that's mandatory is the password manager and the VPN, the virtual private network. Those should be set up beforehand across all of your devices to make sure that you are much more resistant to any attacks. In addition to that, a piece of anti-malware is a good approach that even if something does get through, that your computer, your device can block it before it does any damage.
Great. You were named one of the hospitality industry's trendsetters in 2015 for technology education. So what are some of these new tech tips for traveling that you can share with us?
There's so many cool ones out there. Here are a couple of my recent faves. Hopper, which is a fare prediction tool and gotten some real good feedback as sort of the best tool of late 2015, 2016, allows me to put in the destination I'm going to and where I am coming from, and it'll monitor and track the fares and let me know when they're expected to go up or down or have the best point where I can buy it. Love that. Easy, free of charge, simple to use. For business travelers, but especially for their admins, there's a new service. It's not an app right now, but it's called Travo, TRAVO.com, that is really allowing a business person who has multiple meetings for the admin to go in and to identify the locations of the meetings and where they're flying to and from, and it'll create an itinerary that optimizes the time and location and when they need to leave and which hotel's most adjacent to where they have to be. It's a pretty cool approach to really help the business traveler and their admin manage the travel process and make sure they optimize their time. I also heard about recently It's Easy, which is an app that allows for passport renewal straight from your mobile phone.
Well, I'll have to check that one out. Well, Jim, thank you so much for joining me today and helping us to keep our digital data safe when we travel.
Javon, thank you so much for having me.
There are few things worse in the travel world than watching the luggage carousel go around and around, and then you're the last person standing with no luggage to be found. Has that ever happened to you? If so, what did you do? And do you know what you're entitled to? This sounds like a case for Mo.
Traveling Culturati with your girl Mo, always on the go, and I'm here with
Yasmin.
When you fly, has the airline ever lost your luggage?
No.
Well, hypothetically speaking, if the airlines lost your luggage, what would you do?
I would go crazy.
Go crazy? Okay, go crazy how?
I would probably curse at them. I would get, like, pretty heated, get really mad.
Did you know that the airlines actually have an entitlement to you if they lose your luggage?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, well, you stay tuned in. We're going to let you know what you're entitled to if they ever lose your luggage.
Okay.
Traveling Culturati with your girl, Mo, always on the go, and I have...
With Don.
Has the airlines ever lost your luggage?
No, they haven't.
Let's speak hypothetically. If the airline did lose your luggage, what would you do?
I'd probably be a little upset. I'd probably go up to them and get a little angry. Raise my voice a little bit.
Oh, okay, raise your voice a little bit, okay. All right, so after you do that, do you know what you may be entitled to? Like, would you be raising your voice to prove a point or to get something from the situation?
More to prove a point for me, because if I'm going somewhere, most of the time it's for a couple days, and I don't got time to be looking for some clothes that I already brought with me.
Brother, I hear that. Okay, there is a couple of things that you are entitled to if they lose your luggage, but keep listening and we'll let you know what it is, okay?
Sounds good.
Traveling Culturati with your girl Mo, always on the go, and I am here with
Nick.
When you fly, has the airlines ever lost your luggage?
No.
Hypothetically speaking, if they ever lost your luggage, what would you do?
I'd have to call the airlines. You know, they have like the lost baggage thing, so I have to go call them up. Get back.
Do you know what they're entitled to give you when you call?
I'd assume that your luggage, that I have to give that back to you.
Okay, what if they permanently lose your luggage?
I think you're hosed.
Okay, hosed.
Yeah, you're not getting it. I don't think anything. Maybe if they're nice, they'll give you, like, a voucher.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you the correct answer on what you're entitled to, just in case they lose your luggage.
Yeah, that's fine. I'd like to know.
The one thing that is clear is if you lose someone's luggage, they tend to become irate. But it seems as if no one knows what they are entitled to if the airline does lose their luggage. Traveling Culturati with your girl, Mo. Always on the go. Back to you, Javon.
Thanks, Mo. The somewhat good news is that a lost bag is rare. Most bags that don't arrive on that carousel when they're supposed to are just delayed. With that being said, most airlines will only cover $50 per day for delayed baggage. However, you can always ask for more. As for the lost or damaged luggage, the Department of Transportation issued a directive in 2009 to domestic airlines that are to cover all reasonable, actual, and verifiable expenses related to baggage loss, damage, or delay, up to $3,300. If the airline doesn't comply, you can file a complaint with the Department of Transportation. Also, be sure to ask the airline about getting your checked bag fee reimbursed. Here are some helpful tips. The only way to avoid a lost, delayed, or damaged bag is not to check it at all. If you must, the best way to minimize this occurrence is to travel nonstop. Make sure there is a luggage tag in your bag and on the outside of the bag. And get traveler's insurance that includes baggage insurance. When we come back, I've got the Culture Report. I'm Javon Harley with the Traveling Culturati on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141.